in my heart's prayer, and is that we do surrender all to Jesus Christ. As you know, we're going through this diagram here, and we talked about fellowship, we talked about unity, and today we're going to talk about charity. You know, and the thing is I looked up charity because I was always taught that charity is the Greek word for love. Might be, but I don't know Greek, you know. I know a fellow knows Greek, but I don't know no Greek. I can take his word for it. And it might mean, in literal translation, it might mean agape, all right? It could. And I'm not saying that it ain't, but I am saying I'm ignorant to that, so I'm not going to stand on it as a concrete. What I do know is that in the Word of God, charity is only mentioned 28 times. In the whole Bible, only 28 times. Love is mentioned 310 times. One thing that I noticed about the difference between charity and love, we're commanded to love the Lord our God with all our strength, all our mind, everything we have to love Him. It never tells me to show charity to God. It doesn't. All right? But God shows charity to us. Right? God shows charity. Charity is more akin to kindness. Now, it has the attributes of love in charity. All right? But charity and love are not the same thing. All right? And so if you are really born of the Spirit of God, to have the fullness of God, and you're wanting to live a lifestyle that expounds the mercy and the grace of God, we're commanded to show charity one to another. We're also commanded to love each other. Love and charity are similar, but they're not the same thing. It's like a blue jay and a cardinal. They're similar, but they're not the same thing. They both sang songs, but they sang different songs. One's dressed in red and one's dressed in blue. They both fly. You know, they'll both knock the fruit off of your trees, right? That's what they do. They're birds. Although they're similar in a lot of size, they're similar in a lot of things that they do, but they're not exactly the same. They both have a purpose, but they're not equal in their purpose. Love and charity, although they're similar, they're very close, they're closely related, but charity is not exactly love, and love is much higher than charity. But charity, we're going to find out, is something that the Word of God commands us to have one to another. Amen. I've married a few people, right? And the most of them are still married. In fact, I don't think we got any of that aren't yet. But anyhow, one of the folks that I married, they asked to use this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and change the word charity to love. And I did that out of ignorance, you know, because I didn't know any better. And it sounds good, you know, love is this, love is that, love is the other. But love is greater, although it's like all of those things, it's greater than all of those things put together. So today, by the grace of God, we're going to try to unfold that so that we can learn how to live in the body of Christ with true charity one for another. Amen? And by the grace of God, I think as I unfold this, as we unfold it, it's always open for discussion towards the end of it, you know, but let's see what it looks like as we unfold this thing together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I pray, Lord God, that as I speak this, because it is going against so many things we've learned in the past, Father, that I do not do any harm to your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would desire the truth more than anything else, that we would know what the Spirit says to the church, Father, and how we are to grow, how we're to show charity, how we're supposed to show love, how we're able to allow your word to minister and give us direction, and not some things, but all things. And Lord, we're grateful for that. Help us, Lord God, to be this building, Lord, the church, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Lord, we're grateful for that, and we believe these things and hold on to them in faith, and we ask it in your mighty high name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, charity, as it's defined in the One Good Dictionary, all right, it is the Webster 18 something. 28, thank you. 1828. It says, charity's definition, it's kind, liberally benevolent, helping the poor, goodwill, a dispensation of heart which inclines mankind to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. All right? That's how the Good Dictionary puts it. All right? And I say the Good Dictionary is before the American language really got perverted the way that it is now. It's back when gay had nothing to do with your sexual orientation. Amen? You could be happy and be gay, right? That's when the real American language wasn't perverted as it is today, and that was it. Love is much deeper than charity, but it is just as important as charity. I was going to write down all of the attributes of love that's written in the Webster Dictionary, but it's like 6 pages long, okay? It's a lot, all right? You go in there, you look at it, and you try to understand it by what Webster says about it. Poof, it'll blow your mind. Because there's just too many words for it. So I wrote charity because it was a shorter one. Again, in the Word of God, charity is only mentioned 28 times, where love is mentioned over 310 times. As the word is love, it's most readily described as God, our relationship with God. God wants us to love Him supremely. He wants us to absolutely be surrendered under the power of His kindness, on the power of His majesty, to be surrendered to the influence of the Almighty God on us. And we only do that through loving Him. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. All right? So how do we show love to God? By doing what the Word of God says to do, applying it in our life in a real personal way. All right, how do we show charity? I show charity toward Tom. I show charity toward Kevin. I show charity by the way I pour my life out into them. God shows the church charity by the way that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen? He so loved the world, He showed the charity of God by pouring His blood over the sinful acts of man, of the world. It's not just mankind. Jesus died for the sin of the world. Amen? Our sin too, but the whole creation as it fell into sin, Jesus made a way to make it right with the Father through His love for His creatures, for its creation. Now, we have in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So in 1 Corinthians 13:13, as you look in that, we'll be in that portion of Scripture pretty much all day today. I was in Colossians, sorry. Forgive me while I opened up my Bible to the right spot. And so in this portion of Scripture, I'm going to back up just a little bit. And again, I'm going to pray one more time. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I ask, Lord God, as we look into your word, that we would find the truth of your word and learn how to apply it in our lives in a real personal way. We thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, he said, I'm going to back up just a little bit. We'll start in verse 9, and then we'll go back to the beginning of the chapter. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Amen? Everything that we know right now, we only know a little bit of. We only see it in parts. I have the whole picture in my hand, but I don't understand the whole picture. Right? What I do understand is that the power of God is in this word. And this word, when I apply it in my life, creates in me the image of God. And that image of God, as I walk in the principles that are written in the Word of God, produces the fruit of holiness that a lost and dying world can see. It produces the characteristics of Christ, which we will, when we get into the earlier parts of chapter 13 here, we're going to see that these characteristics of charity are actually the attributes of God and in the Word of God to be applied to the person of God, all right, which is the church. So right now I only see this in parts. I see it in bits and pieces. See, when we see things only in bits and pieces, we can misinterpret it, tell you what it means, right? So, because we only know it in little bits and pieces. I do know that charity is not spelled the same as love. I do know that it's not mentioned nearly as often as love is mentioned in the Bible. It tells me that they may be similar, but they are not the same. I gave the example of the birds, right? They're similar in every way, but they're different. They're not the same thing. And so in these things, we know in part, verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. That's good news. Everything I don't know now, I will know later. Further along, Lord, we'll know all about it. Further along, we're going to understand why, right? So I need to hold on by faith the truths that are in this word and wait for the revealing of the truth when he comes, amen? And so in those things, in that mindset, as we go on reading, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, amen? Who here is part of that? Amen? I still got that problem. But I'm more mature now than when I was when I first started. Amen? The beautiful thing about children, I use this analogy, this picture a lot. I think it's a beautiful picture. When you set your child down, your little baby, the first time in front of a big bowl of pasta with meatballs and stuff, and they grab it with their hands because they don't know how to use a fork, and they shove it in their mouth and rub it in their hair, and there's noodles dripping off of the ears. We take pictures of it. That is so cute. Oh, that's beautiful. How precious. Now, if you're 34, and you start shoving pasta in your mouth, and it's hanging off your ears and dripping off your nose, that ain't cute no more. Amen? The same with Christianity. When we were as a child, we could understand things childlessly, childlike. We could sustain ourselves off of the milk and not really get into the meat of God's word. But as we become mature in Jesus Christ, no longer do you need that milk for nourishment. You need meat. You need something a little bit better. Amen? So when I was a child, I did childish things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I know I did. But now that I've come to know who Jesus is in a better way, I have learned to put away those childish things. Amen? To dig a little bit deeper to find out the righteousness of God. It says on further there, I'm going to back up and do that again in verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, now you women, you ain't going to have one of those weird thoughts here. You're still a woman. When I became full grown, amen. When I became mature, when I stopped playing Jack. Does anybody remember playing Jacks? Okay, I do, right? So I know a lot of the younger folks might not understand what Jacks are. All right, it was a ball, right? And you had Jacks that you put on the ground, and you bounced the ball, and you scooped up the Jacks. You bounced the ball twice, you scoop up more Jacks. It was a game, right? It was before you had video games on your cell phone.
Yeah. They might not understand what playing is.
Yeah, amen. They might not understand what playing is, right? There's actually something called outside, you know? You ain't got to plug it in. You just go outside, and there's a whole world out there. It's not electronical, right? So when I was a child, I did things as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became grown up, a man, I put away childish things. Church, it's time to start putting away childish things. It really is. It's time to stop thinking as a child, acting as a child. Folks, it's time to stop grabbing your spaghetti with hand and smearing it on your face. Amen? It's time to get into the deeper, more righteous things of God, the holy things of God, to live holy because he is holy. It's time to wake up. It's high time to wake up out of our sleep because that day is drawing near. And so in verse 12 it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then I know even as I am known." All right? Look at verse 12 a little bit close right now. For now, right now where I'm at, I still see through things not quite focused. Amen? Have you ever done that? I mean, you take a clear glass of water. I wish I had one. Clear glass of water, and you look through it. It kind of distorts stuff. It doesn't quite look the way that it looks. When you take away the glass, it looks much clearer. Right? You can magnify things, and it gets so blurry. Or you can have it just out of focus. When the church really gets Jesus Christ in the proper focus, you will find the necessity to adjust your life to who He is, that we might be holy as He is holy, putting away those things that make us unrighteous before God. And so, you see, I know only a little bit, I know in part, and I will be known as I am known. And verse 13, now abideth, the things that remain, out of all of the knowledge that we know, the things that are going to remain more than anything else is faith, all right? Hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Why is charity, why do you, all right, I'll ask it that way. Why do you think charity is the only thing that's really going to show up in the kingdom? Because that's really what he's talking about. Right?
That's who Christ was.
That's who Christ was.
He gave of himself, not expecting anything in return.
Out of all of the things we have in this earth, all the faith, see, when we see him face to face, we won't need faith anymore. Why? Because you'll have sight.
Right.
You don't need faith anymore. All right? Hope. When you see the very living hope of your salvation standing right in front of you, right, guess what you don't need anymore? Hope. Why? Because you got concrete proof. Now, the charity, that's something, that is the only thing that we're going to carry from this time-space dimension into the next time-space dimension.
Faith and hope are individual.
Yes.
Faith. Charity is community. Charity is fellowship.
Yes.
Charity is our brother.
Charity is our brother. Charity is communion. It is that fellowship of the believer. It's how we love one another. The only thing we're taking from this life to that life is our love. Is the way we poured our hearts and our minds and our souls into somebody less fortunate. Into your brothers. When you see your brother, your sister naked and destitute of food, as it says in James, and you say, I'll pray for you, and you don't do any charity, you don't do any good, you don't help those things, then your relationship with God, your religion, he calls it dead, worthless. It has no value. So it had no charity. The only thing that goes from this life to the next is the way you love one another. It's that charity, it's that power. So back up with me, if you will, to chapter 13, verse 1. Or actually, let's go back to chapter 12, verse 27. Because we're talking about the body of Christ. Now ye are the body of Christ, this is 12:27. Ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily, thank you. Prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of helps, healings and helps and governments, diversities of tongue. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, we're told in the Word of God not to covet, right? That's one of the big Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. But here God's telling us through the writer to the church that you should covet. You should covet the more earnest, the better way. Amen? So I don't want to covet the things of this world. What I want to covet is the things of God. I want to be conformed into the image and the likeness of the Most High God. And he's going to lay out here some attributes of God that we're supposed to covet. Now the greatest of these is charity, right? All right, there's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is charity. So this charity is something that needs to be in me that I desire more than I desire life itself. Amen? So in verse 2, verse 13, chapter 1, Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. See, you can't put love in that.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That's see, and those folks who want to change the word of God, some of the other translations of the word have love in all those places.
Oh, it's community.
It's community.
Yeah.
Amen.
Community.
It's community. It's a desire to have fellowship one with another.
Yes.
Right? It's wanting your will over my will and his will above all wills.
Yeah.
Right? So having that charity. All right? Let's look at what he says here in verse 1 again. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels. So does that tell you that there are tongues of men and angels? Amen. I believe in tongues. I know that's going to freak some people out. Oh, he believes in tongues. Oh, wait. Tongues, human tongues, are human languages.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right? There, I can speak German. Ich kann sprechen Deutsch. Right? I can speak German. That's a German tongue. Some folks can speak Spanish, like taco and burrito. You know? Italian, pasta. Yeah. So, I can say a lot of different words that are food, you know? So, there are tongues, and that's what he's talking about, tongues of men. I have heard folks in certain denominations, and I'm not putting down no denomination, but they take tongues to its outermost thing. Right? When God used tongues in the book of Acts, it was known languages for every person.
Right.
Now, there are tongues of angels, all right? And I believe in that. I'll tell you, between you and I and the Holy Spirit, I've been in a spot and I've prayed and I said things I did not understand, all right? When I started this church and I was walking the dog, my dog, that my buddy over there nearly hit with a stick, back in those days, right? I was out and I was starting the church and I was praying to God. I'd go off to these way off the beaten trail and I'd sit down and I'd pray with the Lord. And I know for a fact the Spirit of God came over me and I prayed in a tongue I did not know. Okay? But that was between me and God. All right? Had nothing to do with anybody else. I don't know what I said. I know that God heard it. I know that God answered it. How do I know that? You're here. Amen? So there's my proof of that. All right? So I know that there's tongues of angels. I know that there's tongues of man. I believe those things. Why? The Bible says so. Paul wasn't a liar. Amen? He wrote those things. So don't get it all twisted up when I tell you I believe in tongues. And so, so tongues. But if you don't have this love for mankind, if you don't have this compassion for your fellow human beings, you're nothing. You're a sounding brass. All right? Those folks who run around the church, call themselves speaking in tongues, doing cartwheels and doing double backflips and all that kind of stuff, and they're not showing charity to their fellow man, so somebody comes to them and say, hey, brother, I'm naked, I'm destitute of food, and they say, blah, 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 and pray for you. Mm-hmm. Ooh, stop that! Stop that! Dig into your pocket and meet their need. All right? You got two coats, give them one. Don't sit there with your double coat and say, I'll pray for you, be warm. Don't say, I have a spare room, but I won't let you use it. Right? You bring them in. Love them up. They're the body of Christ. That's charity. Amen? That's what charity is about. It's not about being able to preach. Though I have the gift of prophecy, I'm not talking about seeing off into the future because I have the whole Word of God right here. You know what? I don't need to see no further in the future than this. That type of prophecy is over. Amen? But I prophesy the Word of God. I foretell God's Word. That's the prophecy we do now. Though I would be like the best dressed, best spoke preacher in the whole world. Right? Not that I am, because I'm not the best dressed. Y'all know I don't use silent letters. So I'm not one of those highly educated guys. I'm a regular fella. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Now, two type of mountains. Now, there's the real hills, right? When Jesus said, if you had faith, that of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be you removed and cast into the sea, and it would be done. He wasn't talking about bulldozers, all right? He's talking about powers and principalities,
right?
So if I had all faith and I could say unto this devil-controlled world, I command you to be cast out into the ocean, and I had enough faith to see that happen, but I don't have love for my fellow man, I don't have charity for my fellow man, it is nothing. It's nothing. So this charity is a little bit different. Amen? It's a little bit different than what we had thought. And though I so let's say that you're you give all of your wealth away. This is one of the things that the 95 Theses. Martin Luther. Yeah. Martin Luther, and so this is one of the things that he was caught up into, to have no worldly wealth, right? And he went to the Vatican, and he was going up the Della Via Rosa, and he was climbing up the stairs on his knees, whipping himself with a belt, and all that kind of stuff, trying to get holy before God, and gave everything he had to God, but he didn't have charity. It was worth it. He came to that understanding, amen? And so we could give every dime we have and not love. Do you know you can do that? You can give to the poor and not love the poor. And you know what you just did? Got money out your pocket. That's all you did. You didn't gain anything in heaven. But if you love people, if you show charity the right way, guess what you just did? You just gained rewards in heaven. Jesus put it this way when he separated the sheep and the goat. Right? Oh, wow. When did we love you? When did we feed you? When you've done it to the least of these, right? You're my sheep. You're when you did it, you showed charity, you did it. The other said, well, when didn't we do it? He said, well, when you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it unto me. And those were the goats, and he cast them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen? So in those things, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So charity suffers long. All right, how long do you suffer with each other? How long are you willing to put up with it? Well, about 2.5 minutes for me. All right? I tell you, it don't take long. I'm at the end of my suffering. Quick. That is my sin. I'm a prideful, arrogant, do it my way or get it out of the way, right? It's not right. God's working on me. I don't know. Kevin's not that way. Right. Yeah. Right. Justin, Joshua, he's not that way. Alan's that way. No. So this charity, all right? Charity, it suffers long and is kind. All right? Are we kind to one another?
It's essential.
It is. But are we? It's essential, but are we? Am I kind? Ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth. JJ, am I kind? You be honest.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, praise God. That's a good answer. He lives in my house. Sometimes I am kind. Sometimes I am not. Right? But he tells me, if I really have this charity working in my body, if I have the things that God is valuable to God, I'll be more kind than I am unkind. All right? You know when I'm normally unkind? When I expect something out of you that I'm not getting.
Amen.
Where do wars and rumors, where do they come from? Well, they come because you lust and you have not. Right? I'm wanting something out of you. I'm not receiving it out of you. So I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to stop being kind because you're not doing what I expect. Every time we're mean to somebody else and nasty to somebody else, that's what we're doing. That is just true. So charity is opposite of that. I don't know about you, but right now I see some work, some adjustment that needs to happen in my life. Amen?
Amen.
I had to write this. Well, I didn't write much. I had to preach this to myself. I had to understand the difference between love. See, love, agape, covers that. Right? You know what? I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't. Yeah, you can get me angry enough to fight. When they were nailing Jesus to the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." When they were beating him, spitting in his face, and ripping his beard out, he had the authority to call down legions of angels and wipe them off the face of the earth. But he didn't do it. He's showing kindness. And it pleased the Father to crucify his Son. Wow. Why? Because God was showing love that we might show charity one to another. And so, it envieth not. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. That means brag, vaunteth. And is not puffed up. Okay, ask yourself in your personal life. You a little prideful? Come on, Tom. How about you back here, Steve? How about you? A little uppity every once in a while? He said, no, I don't believe that. No. No. And so,
fighting it every day.
Every day, right? I'm looking at these things that says charity, and these are the things that last all the way up into heaven, and I'm finding myself falling short on every single one of them. How about it? You there? You feel me?
Yep.
Amen. And so, and it's not puffed up. Y'all just heard me confess that I'm prideful and arrogant. And I am. I am arrogant. Often I think I know things I don't know. And if you don't believe me, you're wrong. Amen? That is arrogant. I got that problem. All right. Verse 5 says, talking about charity, doeth not behave itself unseemly, and seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. How fast does it take you to be provoked? How fast do you go from calm to angry?
Quick.
Amen. You want to see me go from calm to angry? Give me a wrench and tell me to fix something. Yeah, there's something in that just, it irks me. Amen. Right, JJ? Get in my face at the dinner table. You'll see a different Curtis. I get a little uppity, you know? I will stomp a fire out, and that's not a good thing. But that is who I am. But God. Amen? But God. It's not provoked. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. In public, I don't seem unseemly often. Ask my wife. Right? She knows me better than all y'all. Right? Ask somebody who spends time with you outside of being around church people. Amen? Because in this church right here, we're all pretty nice. We're kind. But when you shut these church doors and you walk out into the road, and well, I keep using this traffic thing because I know it's one of a lot of your Achilles heels. Somebody pulls out in front of you. You lay on your horn. You give them the California hello sign. Unseemly. You speed up, get around behind, or past them. You give them the old ugly, hold your Bible up to them. You know? The stink eye. Right? That's behaving yourself unseemly. Right? That's behaving yourselves unseemly. Does anyone see some need for improvement in our lives? Amen? I want my charity to go to heaven with me. I really do. Thank you, Kevin, for bringing this to my mind earlier today. I wasn't thinking about it, but it tells us in Romans chapter 7, who shall deliver me from this body of death? A wicked man that I am. I praise God through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's how I get from who I am to where I need to be, is an obedience to His Word, to walking in the holiness and the righteousness of God. His charity will work in me quick as I learn to die to me, to surrender to His life and get rid of this body of death that's on me. Amen? Because I'm looking at this. I'm not there. Rejoice not in iniquity. When you see the evil getting what you think is their just reward, do we celebrate that? Yay, this wicked person, he got what... Wait, we're rejoicing. Or going along... Sorry, I think I said that incorrectly. Going along with iniquity and rejoicing in that. Though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, so God gave them over to do debased things, creating what is unnatural in their bodies. A man with a man and a woman with a woman, creating those things, doing this. Romans chapter 1. I may have said that a little backwards or a little chopped up, but the justice there. If we enjoy that, I'm going to go there because at the end of chapter 1 right there, it says some things. So Romans chapter 1 in the very last verse 30. Okay, I can't do the last verse. Okay, I've got to back up at least to the first verse. All right, and so you say that's a long piece of chat, long stuff. I don't care how long it is, people. But I will give you some a little break here, and we'll go to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold truth in unrighteousness. Wow, that verse right there will preach. They hold truth in unrighteousness. They're saying that unrighteousness is godliness. They're saying that evil is good and good is evil. They're holding that as truth. For the verse 19, because that which be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I love that MacArthur's writing a new Bible. Professing himself to be wise, he's a fool. Right, and
he's going
to
correct the errors.
He's going to correct the errors in the Word of God. And so they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own flesh to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen? All right? Did you see what they did? They knew God. They didn't glorify Him as God. God gave them over to do those things because they didn't surrender to God. They didn't believe in the charity, the love, and the power, and the might of God, the Creator of all things. They knew Him, but they didn't glorify Him as that. So God said, you want to do ungodly, nasty things, perversion? Go ahead.
Let's go.
Let's go. Amen. Amen. He let go.
Let's go.
America right now is going to hell in a handbasket. And it's not because God desired that for us, but it's because the church of Jesus Christ started loving the things, worshiping the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. I know that church folks are getting angry right now. I didn't do that. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Check that charity verse. Which of those are you doing? Amen? I know I got some adjustment to do. Now, and so, Verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creator, creature more than the creator who's blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, even their women claiming to be men. And their men claiming to be women. All right, I put that in there. That is not what the scripture says. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Homosexuality is against nature. All right? It's against nature. I don't care how many folks that you know are homosexuals. I do not hate the homosexual, but God gave them up because they did not worship him as God. All right? Likewise, also the men, leaving their the natural use of a woman, burn with lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meet, which is due. All right? And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Okay, children, parents, both of you. Wherefore, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unpeaceable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and this is what I was getting to the whole time, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You might not be doing it, but if you're going along with it, you're just as guilty as they are.
And it really kicks in verse 25. That's when all the spiraling downward really kicks in.
Yep.
Because it becomes religious.
Yes.
Spiritual. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature.
More than the creator.
He is blessed forever. So humanism and all those things, when they worship the man, the fellow man, God, the experts, and all that stuff, this is what happens.
This is what happens.
Spiritual.
This is their just reward for doing those things. All right? And so, charity tells us, we were in verse 5, because we're talking about does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity. That's where we were. See, those who rejoice in iniquity are worthy of the same death of those who perform iniquity. Right? I'm rejoicing in iniquity. When that man beat up those women boxers and won the gold medal, those who rejoiced in that are just as cursed by God is the man who dressed up as a woman to do it. All right? Just what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you agree with that, man, I my heart hurts for you. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Okay, I'm not going to rejoice in the iniquity, but I am going to rejoice in the truth of God's word. Right? bearing all things, believeth all things, helpeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they shall fail, and whether there are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Real quick, I want you to know that we're not as smart as we think we are. Knowledge is going away, right? And I'm going to just bring up a real quick fact. We cannot build a pyramid like the old pyramid, moving those huge huge big old rocks.
Megaliths.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Big rocks. We can't build a crane strong enough to pick them up.
Right.
Now, they were doing this without any cranes that I know of. So we got dumber. We didn't get smarter. We got dumber.
Right.
We think that computers help you. You know what computers do? It teaches you how not to add. Yeah. Amen? It teaches you how not to spell because you got spell checker.
Yep.
Right. Computers, smartphones make ignorant people.
Yeah.
It really does. You know, we think we're increasing in knowledge, but we're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. How, I mean, really and truly, JJ, in your age group, what's your daughter's name? Dean, what's your daughter's name?
Naomi.
Naomi, and because y'all are about the same age. In your age group, or the young kids right back there, in your age group, how many of the young teenage, early adult people know how to plant a garden? Skin a deer. Okay? How many of them actually know how to can anything? How about open a can? Yeah, you give a teenager a P-38, y'all know what they are? Okay, you do. Anybody? And so they're the old hand can openers. Work, you know? I'll guarantee you, even the simple ones that have the clamp on and twist, I will, a dial telephone, encyclopedia, dictionary.
You wanna be humble, spend a week with the Amish children.
Thank you. Yeah. I have one of the first school books that were printed for public education called The Primer. I have a couple of them there in my office somewhere. I read that thing. The Primer showed me just how ignorant I am. You could take a test, an English or a math test from the 1800s, and a college professor can't pass it today because we're stupid, because we got into computers and got away from thinking, critical thinking.
We think the way to good health is by vaccinating and medicating people.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. They can't tie their shoes because of Velcro.
Yeah. Yeah. What's a shoelace?
You know, we're not getting smarter, people. Why? Because we moved away from the basic principles of righteousness. This charity that is different from love. I'm sorry, I got off on a rant there for a little while. Sometimes I got to step off of the milk carton and get back down to earth. This charity that we're supposed to have is one for another. Amen? It is the holy, righteous love of God to a lost and dying people. And if we are puffed up or prideful, if instead of standing against unrighteousness, we go away with it, we go their way with it, we start saying that, yes, my child is a cat, yeah. Right? Yeah. There's that thing, what do they call them, Furbies?
No.
No? I think that is what they call them. Furries? Furbies? Something like that. Anyhow, so your child says, oh, today I'm a cat. Right? And they go to school, and the teachers have got to treat them like a cat. But I don't see no litter boxes.
They're there.
They're there. Oh, are they?
Yeah, they are in the bathrooms.
Wow.
In some schools, the janitor has to, deal with the litter. There are schools that have that.
So, tell me that ain't wrong. Okay? That's wrong.
That boy needs a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
The boy that wants to go to the girl's locker because I feel like a girl today.
Mm-hmm.
No. No. I don't care what you feel. You got the chromosomes of a man, you're a man. I don't care what the surgeon does to you. I don't care what they cut off. And if you agree with that, saying, well, they feel that way, that's what they are, you deserve the same thing. That's what it told us at the end of Romans chapter 32. They deserve the death. So do you if you agree with them. So to be really having the right charity, the right love, is to tell the emperor he has no clothes. You know that? Do you know that? That's part of real charity, that's real love. Is standing up and saying, no, the ESV is not the real Bible. Once confessed, always saved will not get you to heaven. Dispensationalism is a lie. It was made up. We went through it. It was made up back in the 1400s by a Jesuit priest. It was made up, and we went through the whole history of the whole thing and brought it up to the modern day. And I was just given this book by one of the folks that I love and treasure as a great friend. All right, the revised version of the Footsteps of the Messiah, Study Sequence of Prophecy Events by Arnold G. Frukenmakinator. All right? Frukenmakinator. I don't know if that's the name of this, but anyhow. He's a Messianic Jew. This book right here is filled with deception, marked as truth. I read the foreword of it, and the guy doesn't even use his own thoughts. He has a gathering of other so-called doctors in the faith, and they took their doctor things and put them in this to make you think that there's two different salvations. There's a salvation for the Jew and there's a salvation for the Gentile. That the tribulation period is 7.5 years long. Where the Bible says, what, 8 times? 3.5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
Great. And so Jesus said 3.5 years. The doctors, biblical guys right here, they say 7. Who are you going to believe?
Those are the people Jesus chastised, scribes,
Pharisees,
and the Sadducees, all the scholars.
Yeah. The only thing good about scholars is you got ring around it, ring around the scholar, and they got shout to get it out. Amen? There's what I just said may sound uncharitable. What I just said is true. Truth is charity.
That's right.
I didn't say that in a mean way, all right? I wasn't trying to hurt anybody in saying that. If Wendy, if you have a broken arm and you go to the doctor and he says, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Is that a good doctor? You need a doctor that will actually set you down, give you a stick to bite on, and pull that arm until it pops back into place and then puts a cast on it. I see a stick because I don't like drugs. All right? It's going to hurt, but it's for your good. Charity is telling the truth with love. All right? Charity is loving people in the middle of where they're at. See, I was almost called you Mike again, Rick. Rich. Rich. Okay?
Just don't call me late for dinner.
All right, well, I will never call you late for dinner. But I would like to have you over for dinner one day. Anyhow, if I were to tell you that you didn't have to repent to get to heaven, I would be doing you a disfavor. But if I tell you to repent, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. Surrender to His power, then you will be saved. If I tell you that you can't live in your lust and get to heaven, that's a good thing. It sounds hard, but that's real charity. Charity is grace and truth mixed. So in those things, love is what God does to the lost sinner. He covers you with this all-sufficient grace and love. And though you are a sinner, Christ died for you. You didn't have to get good to get God. You had to get God to get gooder. Right? And so as you surrender your life to His life, He takes the bad out of your life and replaces it with the righteousness of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is the love of God. The charity of man is telling you truth covered in grace. Mm-hmm. Amen? The love of God is showing you the power of God to save an unworthy sinner. I can't save you. I can't love you like God loves you. Mm-hmm. But I can show charity to you like God showed charity to me. Amen? So the difference between love and charity, I hope it made a difference to you today, that you saw some things that you may dislike me for. That's okay. That's what I'm here for. You can dislike me. That's all right. If you have any questions about the things that were said, talk to Tom. No.
Can I just say?
Yes, please.
Go back and take you 2 minutes to read 1 Corinthians 13 and into 14:1.
Yeah.
Take out the word charity and put Jesus.
Amen.
In that spot.
Yeah.
That's what charity is.
Yes.
It's Jesus Christ.
It is Jesus Christ. And to put him on in his fullness. And so 13 through 14:1, 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, and Jesus. These three, but the greatest of these is Jesus. For after Jesus, follow after Jesus, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Amen? Put on Jesus. Those things, that the charity things that we talked about, those are all the attributes of God. We're supposed to show the attributes of God to a lost and dying people. Light and darkness. Again, I've used this analogy before. How many have been sound asleep, right, in a good dark room, and all of a sudden somebody flips on a halogen light? Boom! You're not happy when you first see it. You know? But after your eyes adjust to it, it's not bad at all. Same thing with the truth of God's Word. When you first hear it, it might sound abrasive, but as you embrace it, it turns out to be smoother than silk, more comfortable than any beaten fabric you can think of. It is the love of God. So charity is my actions towards you. Love is God's actions towards us. And our actions towards God need to be love. All right? And my action toward you is to be charity. All right? God's action to me, he loved me, so I'm to love him. All right? I'm charitable to you, so be charitable to me. I can't fix Wendy, as much as I love you and you ain't got many problems, I cannot fix any of them. Right? I can't. I cannot fix your problems. I really can't. I can love you in the middle of your problems where you're at. I cannot provoke you to anger. Why? Because that's charity. I can lift you up when you're down, because that's charity. I can meet you in the middle of your mess and walk down there with you and cry with you and celebrate with you. That's charity. The love of God goes beyond all of that. He loves you. He is just fantastic what God does to you. Anyhow, said a lot. I love you guys. Let's just lift these things. Oh, and I didn't even get to 1 Timothy. Anyhow, dear Father, that's because I walked away from my notes. Father, we do love you. We praise you. We thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And I do pray, Lord Jesus, let us all put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Lord, and I ask that you would move over us, Lord God, and teach us to walk in the holiness that you've called us to. That we would not have a heart of disbelief, but we would have a heart comforted by belief. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.